Odyssey celebrates Father's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
How we doing? Hour number three of the Zach Gelb Show right here on the Infinity Sports Network. Up-and-coming boxer, had an unbelievable amateur career, going to make his pro debut coming up on July 26th at Madison Square Garden. That's 22-year-old Julius Juju Ballo. He's going to be joining us to chat with us in a few minutes from now, about 20 minutes from now at 5:20 p.m. Eastern Time. So we're looking forward to that conversation. But first up, I asked Samter to compile a list. And I just said, give me either a coach, a QB, or a team entering this season. So, like, for example, if I say Michigan, you may think, all right, just what are the team expectations? What's the expectation for Bryce Underwood if he does start? Or what is it for Sherrone Moore? So, however, Santa thought that was the most interesting. He had to pick coach, quarterback, team, and then what is my individual expectation for the coach or the quarterback, or just the team expectation in general. So let's do that right now with Big 12 Media Days kicking off. We'll go around all of college football. Mike, who is the first name that you're going to throw my way?
I'm not sure if you've heard this guy's name before.
Okay.
He is kind of flying under the radar, not very well known. Doesn't really come from a lot of famousness, I guess, in his past. Yeah. But his name is Arch Manning.
Who?
Yeah. He plays quarterback for the Texas Longhorns.
Arch Manning, right?
Arch Manning.
Isn't that what someone once called him here at the Infinity Sports Network?
The one and the same Arch Manning.
That wasn't me. That wasn't Samta. That wasn't Connor, just to be clear. But there used to be some guy that worked here. It was Jack Stern. And he called him Arch Manning in an update. Oh, my God. That's a bad one. I don't know what was worse. Jack Stern calling him Arch Manning and thinking that was his actual name. Or Peter Schwartz, when he was doing an update, I think it was for the draft lottery for Victor Wembanyama. And Peter Schwartz basically said, I don't care about the draft lottery. I go, Peter, we had this debate on the air. I said, Peter, you may not care about the draft lottery. There's sometimes I talk about things that I don't care about either. But you have a responsibility and a service to the listening audience. And Victor Wembanyama is supposed to be an alien. He's going to be a unicorn on the basketball court. You have to give that news. And DA, when he was here, even took it as far as by saying, it's actually a terrible look for the network. And Peter Schwartz, when we were getting this debate, you know what his big thing was? There was some lacrosse player. Because Peter likes all these obscure sports. I love Peter, but he loves all these obscure sports like lacrosse and arena football. And he goes, well, do you know this lacrosse player? I go, no. I go, but 98% of the listening audience doesn't give a flying you-know-what about the lacrosse player. They care about Victor Wembanyama. So anyway, when we get to Arch Manning, the quarterback formerly known as Arch Manning, according to that guy Jack Stern that used to work here. He came up in my feed the other day, by the way. You want to take a guess what Jack Stern is doing in the media world? Connor, were you even around here for Jack Stern?
I was a listener. I heard him a couple times. I wasn't here yet.
You were a listener, and that's how you knew of Jack Stern.
Yes.
You know, look at all the great hosts that have ever been at this network and the great people that have worked here at this network. Brandon Tierney, Jim Rome, Rich Eisen, you know, Tiki Barber, the late, great John Feinstein, Scotty Farrell, shake it up, Amy Lawrence. Who are some other hosts that, Samter, Doug Gottlieb when he worked here. And then, how did Connor hear the network? I was listening to Jack Stern. I know that's not how you actually heard the network. But anyway, what do you think, Samter, Jack Stern is doing these days? I was not expecting to do 5 minutes on Jack Stern here, but that's summer radio for you folks.
I blame myself for going down this rabbit hole, but Jack Stern is
a political podcast host.
Not surprising.
Yeah, that's what he's doing. I saw he was getting in into yesterday with Sid Rosenberg, and Sid Rosenberg actually was the first person to ever put me on the air. Now he's like a big time political talk show host, and you know Trump, you know, goes on his show all the time. I'm not a political guy, by the way, so don't like start tweeting at me. You believe this? You believe that? No. And I saw that Jack Stern was accusing John Casamitidis, I think is his name, who is very, very wealthy. He owns all the Gristidis here in New York City, and he's very, very wealthy as well. And he basically runs WABC now and just pumps cash into it. And I guess they were endorsing a mayor candidate yesterday, and Sid did not look thrilled. Yeah, just standing there. It wasn't that he wasn't thrilled. And Jack Stern said that Rosie, because Jack Stern would always call people like by nicknames. I've never heard anyone call Sid Rosenberg Rosie. But he started tweeting at Sid, and Sid actually responded because he said, oh, Sid looks disgusted with Casamitidis. And I texted Sid the link. Sid responds back, whoever that guy is a jackass. Now, sorry, Jack. I don't think Jack is a jackass, to be clear. But man, Jack Stern, little Ark Manning reference. Yeah, but he's now a political pundit, is what we will call them.
So is Pete Mundo.
Oh, really?
Former Pete Mundo.
Who worked there?
Yeah, I think a lot of the former sports guys have gone into politics.
Bilotti's leaving. He's going to go do a political show.
Bilotti absolutely will.
I'm just kidding. Politics with Pete. Maybe do that on the weekend.
Poly Pete? Political Pete.
All righty. Maybe when he leaves the network, he won't thank you again. That was actually one of the funniest social media exchanges I've ever seen. Pete was leaving the 6 to 10 a.m. shift, which he did for, 8 to 10 years, to go produce Amy in the overnights. And he's thinking like everyone he's ever worked with, and he just didn't thank Samantha. And Samantha goes, should I feel offended here?
He was thanking the janitors. Yeah. He was thanking the guy who fixes the light bulbs. Just left my name out of it. Thanks, Bilotti.
I think he just forgot. I don't think that was intentional.
Well, you better be nice to him because apparently he's your manager now.
Yeah, that is true. When I won this $1,000 through the company for throwing all my Odyssey coins in there from that people donate for me for just being a nice person, I got selected out of the 52 entries I put in because I didn't want a mug or I didn't want a backpack. I ended up winning the $1,000. Two people I could tell are a little bit annoyed that I won the $1,000. Two people. I don't think Ack is too happy about it.
Have you offered Ack a little bit of a, you know? Mm-hmm.
If Ack gives me 7 days of a positive attitude, then I'll get Ack some lunch.
Interesting.
You know? If he gives 7 days without bitching about the temperature, then I get him lunch. I've also got people lunch here, just out of nowhere. Like, I've ordered days where we ordered pizza and things like that.
Over under 3.5 days before he loses it. You tell him under 3.5.
Under.
Yeah.
Chris Percy Einem wasn't mad, but he had a good line. He goes, can I get a 20? I actually respected that. He goes, I'm going to Vegas. Can I get a 20? I almost met him at 20. But anyway, you said Arch Manning, right? Is that how we got on this diatribe for the last 8 minutes? Oh, I love
this
summer radio.
This is the first of 15 names we've got to go through.
Here's my expectation for Arch Manning this year. Here's what he has to do bare minimum. Has to be a Heisman finalist and has to have that team in the Final Four of the college football playoff. That's what he needs to do bare minimum. All right, next one.
How about your boy Kalen DeBoer?
I was going to say just make the college football playoff. I think it's a lock that Alabama's going to make the college football playoff this year. So I'm going to say they have to win a game in the college football playoff this year. Because if you just make the playoff, you still have a contingent of people that are going to be like, it's Alabama. Like, just making the playoff is not in a 12-team format. It's something they really hang your hat on. But you win a playoff game, that's really showing that you're moving in the right direction. I know there's always going to be a group of people to be like, until he wins a national championship, I'm not going to give this guy credit. But this dude took Washington to a national championship game. I think he will eventually win a natty, at least one, at Alabama. But I think he's got a bare minimum win a playoff game this year.
How about a member of your family, Mr. Brian Kelly?
Well, it's not said that way. It's family.
Family.
My LSU Tiger family. The Tiger family. They got to make the college football playoff. Bare minimum. You left Notre Dame to go pursue a national championship at LSU. There's been three coaches since 2000 to win a national championship at LSU. Nick Saban, Les Miles, and Ed Orgeron.
Go Tigers!
Now, you need to bare minimum with another potential Heisman Trophy quarterback in Garrett Nussmeier make the college football playoff.
All right. How about Hickey's favorite player, Drew Aller?
I think Penn State's going to be really good this year.
Don't say that again.
No, I think Penn State could win it all this year.
No!
That's a fear of mine.
Oh, good God.
It's a big fear of mine.
Their hockey team just got the number one recruit in the country.
The only thing that makes me confident that they won't is that Hickey is all in on Penn State this year. I think Drew Aller needs to be a Heisman Trophy finalist, and I think he needs to be in the national championship game. Bare minimum for me to really praise Drew Aller this year.
Now, you had put down Clemson, but I know you love Dabo, so I'm just going to combine them together. Clemson slash Dabo.
I think the stands the same for both. Win the national championship. Clemson and Dabo, another program that I've soured on as of late. And I didn't think they'd be back to national championship contending status. I think they could win the ACC easily and things like that. This team and Klubnik is very good. Like, you may not need to be great to win it all this year. You may just need to be very good. There's a lot of parity in college football. They got a very good football team. I think Clemson, to me, this is championship. They are a championship or bust team this year. And I'm not talking about ACC championship. I'm talking about a national championship.
All right. How about Kirby Smart?
So they lost coming off the bye last year to Notre Dame. Georgia was supposed to be the new Alabama. They haven't won the national championship in the last two seasons. So bare minimum, I think they need to get back to the Final Four this year. Like, they'll be a championship pick by some. I don't think they're, though, a sexy championship pick. I don't know if there's a sexy championship pick yet this year. You got to get back into the elite of college football. Bare minimum, I think you got to get to the Final Four of the college football playoff.
All right, let's go with our buddy, Coach Prime, who hopefully is healthy and that Big 12 media day is tomorrow.
You got to clear over under 6.5. They got to get to 7 wins. First year without Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders, you're going to have a fall off. Get to 7 wins, bare minimum. I think that's a pretty damn good season.
Your boy Dylan Raiola there at Nebraska, Scott Frost being jealous of that guy.
I am going to say 8 wins for Nebraska this year. I looked at their schedule. I can make the case for maybe 9. They should, bare minimum, get 8 wins this year.
Okay, let's go to two of the top quarterbacks in the SEC, at least from a standpoint of expectation, mm-hmm. DJ Lagway or Lenoris Sellers over there at South Carolina.
I'll say both is the same. Both of those quarterbacks have to make the college football playoff this year. Like, Sellers, if he succeeds, he's off to the NFL. DJ Lagway, I think, because last year I think was his first true season, so I think he has one more year. Yeah, I think he does have one more year left. So I'm going to say you got to strike when iron is hot. People are giving Billy Napier another chance in Gainesville. Shane Beamer was awesome down the stretch, and so was Lenoris Sellers. I think both those quarterbacks, DJ Lagway and Lenoris Sellers, they both have to make the college football playoff this year, bare minimum.
All right, we're going with my team, Sam Levitt and the Arizona State Sun Devils.
So Levitt to me is fascinating. And I also, I think it's his dad. He follows me on Twitter after our interview with him, because anytime I tweet about Sam Levitt, I get a tweet or a like from another Levitt, and it's an egg face. I think it is his father. Or it could be an uncle or a brother. I think it is his father. I just get very dad-like energy. I think Sam Levitt, bare minimum. So individually, I think he could be a Heisman Trophy finalist. I do. I don't think he'll win it, but without Cam Scadaboo, he becomes the face of that team. He becomes the general on the field. And he was awesome down the stretch. And he was great without Jordan Tyson, and now comes back as well, and hopefully he's healthy. I'm going to say make the college football playoff again. I think if you repeat what you did last year, you win the Big 12, or if you just make the college football playoff outright, bare minimum, that's a successful season for Arizona State, in my opinion.
All right, Lincoln Riley. Lots of pressure on him at USC.
Oh, boy. Stinking Lincoln. My guy, Lincoln Riley. Whew. Have I ever been more right about a coach than him? Where I just said he's overrated? I'm going to say, like, I want to say make the college football playoff, but, like, I don't think that's realistic. I don't. Can you give me 9 wins this year, Lincoln? 11-3 in 2022, 8-5 in 2023, 7-6 in 2024. Like, just getting back to what you did in 2023 doesn't really move the needle for me. I'll say bare minimum for this to be a success, you got to get to 9 wins.
Now, you did mention Michigan. Sharon Moore, I mean, following in Jim Harbaugh's national championship footsteps.
I think Michigan's a great unknown this year. They're still going to be good defensively. And you got Wink there again as a defensive coordinator. I'm curious when they'll implement Bryce Underwood. That team has lost a lot in the last 2 years. But I'm going to say make the college football playoff. Like last year, you put lipstick on a pig. You had an underperforming season. You beat Ohio State at the end. Now, can you have just a solid season from start to finish? Even if you get 2-3 losses, you have a chance to make the college football playoff. So make the college football playoff.
All right, and last one, the number one team in the country last year who fell short, Dan Lanning in Oregon.
Because of the fact that they were the number one team and they lost to Ohio State coming out of the bye, even though they won the Big Ten championship, what else is there to accomplish for Oregon? You won the Big Ten championship in your first year in the Big Ten. You need a national championship. That to me, Oregon is another team, whether you think they could do it or not, it feels like it's national championship or bust. It feels like it's national championship or bust. If you say the first four teams that come to mind, national championship or bust, and I know I just laid it out differently when you asked for Arch, but Texas feels like national championship or bust. Penn State feels like national championship or bust. Clemson feels like national championship or bust. And Oregon does as well. Those are just four teams right away. There are others. Like, you could talk, is Georgia in there? Ohio State in there? But those are four teams that, if you say national championship or bust right away, no conversation, Texas, Penn State, Clemson, Oregon going into this season. Man, and if you've been listening to me the last 4 years, you never thought I would say Penn State and Clemson in that conversation. Julius Juju Ballo, going to have his professional debut as a boxer. He's had an unbelievable amateur run. You're going to see him at Madison Square Garden. You get tickets via Ticketmaster.com on July 26th. We will talk to Juju Ballo.
Odyssey celebrates Father's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America, decade by decade, from the 18th century to the 20th. Original music and immersive sound design accompany us on our storytelling journey. Listen to and follow History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Next. All righty, welcome back in. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We should hear coming up momentarily from Julius Juju Ballo, who's getting set to making his professional debut. So we're looking forward to that conversation and get in a few minutes to discuss about the career and the up-and-coming phenom that is Julius Juju Ballo. It is the Zach Gelb Show right here on the Infinity Sports Network. You can always give me a call at 888-710-4ISN. That is 888-710-4476. And you could always follow the show on social media at Zach Gelb. That is Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B, where you can find it on Twitter and Instagram at Zach Gelb. So we should have Juju Ballo coming up momentarily right here on the show, as he's going to be fighting Brandon Ayala in a featherweight bout coming up on July 26th right here at Madison Square Garden. I think we have Julius Juju Ballo right now, who once again will be making his professional boxing debut on July 26th at MSG to see the 22-year-old boxing phenom fight against Brandon Ayala in a featherweight bout. You could go to Ticketmaster.com. Juju, appreciate the time. Thanks so much for doing this. How you been?
Doing good, man. Doing good. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing fantastic. So I know you're a little bit over 2 weeks out from your professional debut. Just take me through what's going through your mind for this exciting opportunity that you have right in front of you.
Just training hard, man. Training hard. And yeah, like you said, 2.5 weeks out. So, you know, just been training hard and getting ready to go out to New York and handle business.
What does the training look like when you're a little over 2 weeks out for the fight? A lot of the work has already been put in. I know the fight got delayed because of an injury that you suffered, but now being a little over 2 weeks out, what does your day-to-day training look like?
You know, it just consists of boxing training, you know, strength and conditioning training. I run about 25 miles a week. So really, you know, you just, you know, picking up your stamina, your endurance, and sparring, you know, 3 times a week. It's not easy, I'll tell you that.
How about the nerves? I know you're confident. We know what you accomplished on the amateur level. Now you're getting ready to make your professional debut, and it's at MSG, right, on one of the biggest stages ever. Are there nerves heading into this date of July 26th?
Yeah. Nerves, you know, nerves are always going to be there. You know, when you're competing at the highest level, it's normal to be nervous. That means you care. You care. You want to win. If you're not nervous, that means like, you know, you don't really care. Whatever happens, happens. But you know, yeah, nerves are definitely there. You know, but pressure's there too. Pressure makes diamonds, though. So we're gonna go out there and just handle business.
What kind of pressure do you feel as you get set to make your professional debut?
You know, it's the pressure to it's the pressure to put out the best version of yourself. You know, it, you you 'cause you could go out there and put out a C performance, B performance. But, you know, I put a lot of pressure on myself to go and, you know, come out as an A plus performance. So that's what the pressure is.
You know, just wondering, as Julius Juju Ballos here with us, he's going to make his debut on July 26 at MSG. He's a phenom at 22 years old, and his amateur career has been unbelievable. For people that never seen you before, right? Like, I could read about you, I could see the great Instagram videos you put out there, the TikToks, and it's unbelievable when I watch the clips that I see of you and how you came up on my timeline. But for people that have never seen you and they've just heard about you, what can they expect when you step into the ring on July 26?
I think they could expect fireworks and go out there and you know, I'm not gonna look for the knockout, but if the knockout comes, I'm hoping it comes, but expect fireworks.
Now, we talked about your decorated amateur run, 51-8. What do you take from that experience, and what did you really learn from that time before you ended up becoming a professional?
51-8 is not correct. My amateur record is about 215 fights, about 16 losses.
See, I'm glad you said that, because when I was researching this, I saw that number and then I saw 51-8, and I had no clue what the actual number was. So,
I'm not sure where the 51 from, but the actual record is when you get so far high up, like you can't. It's hard to keep in track of the actual number, but it's around 215 fights, about 16 losses. Yeah, so that's where I'm at. But that experience is, you know, it's everything. You know, that's what makes the difference between the high, you know, decorated fighters. You know, they all have, you know, great amateur experience, and I'm very thankful that I went through all of that. You know, representing Team USA, went to the Pan American Games in Colombia, got a gold medal there. So it's a truly was a blessing traveling around the world and getting as much experience that I can.
you know, it's fascinating because you've already accomplished so much, and now the expectations just grow bigger and bigger. How do you not allow yourself to get complacent? Just wondering.
You know, it's you know, listening to the coaches, listening to my dad, and constantly you know, being a perfectionist and try to get better, you know, 1% every day. No one's perfect. No one's perfect. So I'm just gonna you know, get better every day and, you know, put on a performance that, you know, a spectacular performance.
Now, I saw some video. Julius Juju Ballos here with us, going to make his debut on July 26 at MSG. For more information, to get tickets, ticketmaster.com. And it showed a video of you punching in a gym when you were 3 years old. So take me through how that all did come about and why this wasn't just something that was a cute video. It turned into what is now a career for you.
Yeah, so my dad took me to the gym at, you know, 3 years old. You know, we started boxing at three and training. I had my first amateur fight at 8 years old, first amateur fight. So, you know, I traveled around the world and, you know, I got my first national championship, USA national championship. I was 17 years old, I believe. And that's how I got my spot on Team USA. And that's when I started traveling. And, you know, that's how I ranked up over 200 amateur fights.
You know, it's crazy because if you look at baseball, for example, like I played Little League when I was a kid at 7 years old, but there's really no harm in me being in Little League. We had Joey Logano, the NASCAR driver, on, and he said he first got in a car when he was six and he started racing. You're saying you had your first fight at eight. How did you really fall in love with it? And was there some fear early on when you're doing something that is still very dangerous?
You know, being that young age, doing sport like boxing, you know, at first I didn't really, you know, I didn't really. There was days I didn't like it. You know, there was days I didn't want to go. You know, there was days we were at my grandma's house with the family. You know, we had to go leave the house and go train. You know, there was days I didn't want to go. There were days that I didn't mind going. But it was definitely something that wasn't easy. But honestly, I'm thankful that my dad did that. You know, because now it obviously has paid off, and now it's basically muscle memory.
So when you're talking about this build up to this fight, you're supposed to make your professional debut a little while back. Unfortunately, you got hurt training with the hand injury. How tough was that to overcome with all the emotions of the build up to what was supposed to be your professional debut, and now it getting, you know, just kicked down the road a little bit?
It was very tough going through that, but God got a plan, you know, a bigger plan, and you know, the hand injury did happen. Everything is all fixed, and we're 110% ready to go. And now we're bigger and better stage, you know, with Madison Square Garden. You know, what a way to start it off.
Who were some of your favorite boxers, you know, growing up as a kid?
You know, I always watched, as a kid, I watched Oscar De La Hoya, Floyd Mayweather, Manny Pacquiao, Canelo Alvarez, and one throwback fighter I would watch is Sugar Ray Leonard.
And everyone talks about the state of the sport. You know, I'm not going to sit here and tell you I'm a P1 boxing fan. I love those Tyson Fury fights up against Deontay Wilder. That really captivated my attention. It was the most recent fight that I said, okay, I have to buy this. I have to watch because those fights were just so awesome. What do you think is someone that's so young and, right, you had such a decorated amateur run and now you're making your professional debut. What are your thoughts on the current state of boxing?
I think it's in a great position, I think we got a lot of help from, you know, the Saudi Arabians, you know, the Turkey Al Sheikh. He came into boxing, and I think he's doing a phenomenal job taking care of the sport. So I think it's, boxing is headed in a very good direction.
And obviously, if you get a star like yourself and you meet the hype, that could only help the sport. I know you said when people tune in on July 26, you want them to expect fireworks. How do you plan to expect people like me that are on the fence about boxing to really get excited about the sport again?
Exactly like you said, you know, you gotta, you know, match the hype. So when you get a fighter that could fight, and you can match the hype, you know, it's only going to bring the sport even higher.
Yeah, it's crazy, and you grew up very quickly, obviously. You're 22, just making your pro debut. I'm sure we'll be talking in 10 years. I remember when I'm 22, I'm about to turn 31 coming up next month in August. Let's say we're talking 8 to 10 years from now. How do you want people to be talking about Julius Juju Bala?
That's a great question. 8 to 10 years from now, so I'll be about 30, 32 years old. You know, I feel like by then I'll be a multi-world champion. And, you know, people are going to be asking, you know, when are the gloves going to be, you know, going to be put down? So I'll plan on retiring, you know, around that time, about 33 years old. So I feel like I should be very accomplished in the sport. And, yeah, I'll leave it at that.
Obviously, this was a love. This was a passion. You grew up around this. But sometimes people, they grow up around things and they don't end up making it their profession. For you in this crazy journey already, it feels like you've already gone through an incredible career as you're just getting set to make your pro debut coming up at the end of the month in July 26. When did you realize that, hey, this isn't just something I like, but this is something I'm really damn good at?
I think that's a great question. I think I figured that out once I won my, you know, I got on Team USA and I won the USA National Championship. I think that did it right there. And I realized that, you know, I think this is the reason why God put me on this earth.
Now, you're not a normal 22-year-old, obviously, but I'm sure you have some normal moments in life since this is a sports show. Outside of boxing, what type of sport fan are you?
I'm a big sport fan. I love football, basketball, soccer. I'm a big Cristiano Ronaldo fan. I love Ronaldo.
For football, in terms of American football, I know you're a big soccer guy. I saw on your Instagram, I know you're from San Diego, but the Chargers now in L.A. Did you grow up a Chargers fan?
Yeah, man, I was a big Chargers fan. I was very upset to see them go.
Yeah, no, of course. So last thing I just want to ask you here, wrap it up with Julius Juju Bala. You know, this is such an exciting time for you. When you're training for it, like, do you try to not just get too excited, and it's just like, is it tough to just stay there, focus and lock in day in and day out with this? You could almost taste this professional debut right around the corner.
No, it's not. I wouldn't say it's tough. It is exciting. It is exciting, and it adds more fire to the flame, you know, during training. But it's not hard for me to you know, stay grounded. I'm used to, I fought in world champions before. I fought at the highest stage at amateur level, so, you know, I don't let the moment you know, take over me. You know, I take over the moment.
You know, it's kind of like there's a calmness to you, but you're also confident as well. Is that the right way to describe it?
Yeah, I'm just being myself, man. That's all. No act here. Just really just being myself, and just that's all.
So like an hour before the fight, what goes on? Like you listen to the music, like how do you get into that zone? Because you have to go to a different level before you get into that ring.
Yeah, usually I'll be playing some 50 Cent or, you know, get in that mode and just, you know, thank God for everything and, you know, put all the work that I did in the gym and, you know, show it that night.
Two more and then I'll let you run here. And this has been a really good conversation. After you win on July 26th, what's the celebratory meal afterwards? What are you looking to eat?
Oof, that's a great question. I don't know. Maybe I got to talk to my nutritionist on that one, but... I think, isn't New York known for their pizza? Maybe we got to get some pizza or something.
Yeah, so I live in New York. I'm a New Yorker. You could definitely get pizza. If you want to go to Peter Luger and get a steak, that's not bad as well.
Okay, let me ask you a question. What's a chopped cheese?
A chopped cheese? So it's not a cheese steak, but it's basically like just chopped meat with cheese on it.
Okay.
It's good. I would say like just it would be a relative like a cousin of
so,
a cheese.
So maybe a pizza and a chopped cheese will celebrate the night.
You go to Katz's Deli late night too. You get a pastrami on rye with some mustard and a well done French fry. That's not bad well.
I'll take you on that.
Yeah, you know maybe we'll buy for you after the fight. Who knows if you end up getting a knockout?
You and I, you'll join the victory dinner.
Yeah. One last thing for you, Jake Paul. What are your thoughts on him? Because for a while, a lot of people thought he was a gimmick, but man, he's really come a long way in his fighting career.
Yeah, Jake actually came down to my gym in San Diego about 4 years ago, and I, you know, before I turned pro, he actually came and he made an offer to sign me to his promotion, and I let him know. I said, brother, I just want to say like you've done a fantastic job. From the time I've seen you to now, you know, I think he's actually helped boxing in a way where he brought a whole different audience. So I think it's actually helping boxing.
You know, it's kind of funny because some people don't want to give him his credit. And you, someone that is a phenom, you're sitting there saying, no, we need to respect him. Just why is there that level of respect outside of the relationship you guys had a few years ago?
I think it's the level of respect because, you know, it's the things that he's done. Is not easy. I believe he's under 10 fights and he's fighting in the biggest stages of the arenas, you know, 20,000 people in attendance. He's fighting like a prize fighter, main event fighter. So that pressure and that, you know, level of performance you have to perform is not easy. So it may look easy, but he makes it look easy.
How far do you think this thing could go for him? Because I feel like every time we talk about him, it just keeps on going up and up a level.
Yeah, I'm hoping it goes up and up for a long time because, you know, it helps bring a lot of money and eyes to the sport. So it's good for boxing to have someone like that, you know, bringing attention and maybe not good attention sometimes, but, you know, it's good attention. All attention is good attention, so.
Well, once again, Julius Jujubal will be making his professional boxing debut on July 26th at Madison Square Garden to see the 22-year-old boxing phenom fight against Brandon Ayala in a featherweight bout. Go to Ticketmaster.com. Juju, good luck. Appreciate the time. Thank you.
Thank you, bud. You too. Appreciate you.
There you go. Julius Jujubal enjoyed that conversation. We will take a break. We go from Julius Jujubal to Patrick Mahomes getting ripped by a radio host. I just don't understand. This one will play it for you, react to it on the other side. Update time first. Here's Zach.
Odyssey celebrates Father's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, mine starts here.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Wesley Financial. Stuck in a timeshare and want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at wesleyfinancialgroup.com. Kevin Kietzman. I haven't heard his name in a while. I remember when he got fired when he was working in Kansas City. I remember he said something controversial about Andy Reid. And talking about Andy Reid and him being a parent or something like that. I forget exactly what it was, but I remember it was a big deal, and we ended up talking about it. But I don't remember the specifics, but I read that name, and I go, Kevin Kietzman, I remember him. Did he say something crazy about Andy Reid? So anyway, Kevin Keatsman has a podcast, and it's Kevin Keatsman Has Issues podcast. Maybe that is appropriately titled. So the headline here on the cut sheet in front of me, Kevin Keatsman rips fat Mahomes. So, Samter, I have not listened to this yet because I wanted to wait all day to play this. But when I saw this right before we got on the show, I saw the headline of radio host in Kansas City or podcaster in Kansas City calls Patrick Mahomes fat. Now, his name is Pat Mahomes. Is he calling him Fat Mahomes? Is that what he's doing here? Is that the play on words here? Or is he just saying that Patrick Mahomes is fat here?
You'll see.
Okay. So the headline, does it meet the content of the audio clip? Because sometimes you see a headline and then you hear it, you go, it's a stretch. You're saying that what the headline is, that like how Juju Ballo is trying to have fireworks in the boxing ring, this is fireworks behind the microphone from when Kevin Keatsman, correct? All right. Without further ado, here is Kevin Keatsman on the Kevin Keatsman Has Issues podcast ripping Fat Mahomes.
Vacation photos are popping up of Patrick Mahomes, and he's fat. I'm going to say it, and I'm going to tell you the truth. That's why you hit the play button. He's an embarrassment. You're a $500 million quarterback. You've made all these comments in the offseason that we're going to do our talking on the field. We got our butts kicked in the Super Bowl. We're coming back with a vengeance. Dude, you're fat. Your belly would be fat at my pool, hanging out with us, 60-year-olds, okay? My skin's flabbier than yours. I get it. Stop. Stop the fast food. Do a sit-up. Do something. Yeah, I'm sure he's worked out and strengthened his arm, and he's done all kinds of different things, quarterback things, but there's no training to this man. I don't understand it. He's not a kid anymore. You can't just run through your NFL career eating Taco Bell all the time and door dashing fried chicken, which he loves. It's time, dude. It's time.
There's a lot there to unpack. Here's what I'll say to this. And there's many different ways that you could go. Has Patrick Mahomes' body really changed that much from 3 years ago to now? No. Like, it'd be one thing if Mahomes, right, had a six-pack and Mahomes had, like, massive biceps and then he took his shirt off and you're like, oh, a little doughy there. Be one thing. But every time I checked and every time I've seen Patrick Mahomes, he's been kind of, right, referred to as having a dad bod. It's worked out well for him. So Kevin Keatsman, maybe you shut your fat mouth. That's a play on words. I'm sure someone will tweet him, oh, Zach Gallup told you to shut your fat mouth. And I have no clue what shape Kevin Keatsman is. And if you Google some old photos of me, at one time I was a fat individual. I've lost a lot of weight then since. But, like, let's just go through some quarterbacks. Samter, did this quarterback have a good body or a bad body? When Tom Brady was playing, was he an I know Brady took incredible care of himself, but he didn't have this good body.
I mean, especially not at the combine, but he took great care of himself.
Yes, pliability.
It doesn't seem that the question is not what his body looks like. It's whether or not he's taking care of himself.
Eli Manning.
No.
Ben Roethlisberger.
Nope.
So, you know what? Was Peyton Manning ever shredded? No. So it's like, you go through these quarterbacks. Do I need my quarterback to be in incredible shape? No. If Patrick Mahomes had a six-pack, does that make me feel any better of him as a quarterback? No. You know what? Let's do this real quickly. Super Bowl winning QBs. When was the last, like, really in-shape Super Bowl winning quarterback? Well, Jalen Hurts is in great shape.
Russell Wilson?
That just happened. How did that turn out? You know. Yeah, Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson is probably the one. So let's do Super Bowl winning quarterbacks by year. I just, when you do this, and let's just look at the last 20 years. Jalen Hurts, great shape. Patrick Mahomes, obviously not. Matthew Stafford, not great shape. Brady, not great shape. Nick Foles, was anyone screaming that? Like, Nick Foles isn't in bad shape, but he's not shredded. Peyton Manning's not shredded. Russell Wilson, all right, good shape. Joe Flacco, no. like, not bad. It's just, he's tall. Eli Manning, dad bod. Aaron Rodgers, he's in good shape. Drew Brees, good shape. Ben Roethlisberger, not so much. And then Brad Johnson? And Brad Johnson wasn't the best. Like, he was just a big dude. So you go through this. I just don't get the conversation. Did anyone, let me ask you this, in the last 3 years, Patrick Mahomes has basically had the same body. Has anyone said, man, Mahomes, that body's preventing you from being great. That body's preventing you from winning back-to-back Super Bowls. You know what? It's your body. Why you got to the Super Bowl this year and got blown out by the Philadelphia Eagles. It had nothing to do with your offensive line or the interception you threw right before the end of half. None of that. It's because your body. Like, what? And you know what? Let's be real. If I was in Kansas City and had all that access, easy access to Jack Stacks, I'd be a little extra pudgier as well. When Mahomes takes the field for week one, no one's going to be sitting there and saying, that Patrick Mahomes is a little fat. No one's going to be saying that. Like, what are we doing here? So Kevin Keatsman, that's the big take today. That's a big summer take. If you're hanging out with me and my buddies around the pool, 60 years old, we're in better shape than you are. Congratulations. Kevin Keatsman, nothing against your career. How many MVPs you got? How many Super Bowl rings have you won? So it's also the offseason too. Like, should I be freaking out about this for a quarterback? If this is a running back, a wide receiver, different. But on July 8th, am I going to be freaking out that Mahomes took his shirt off and he's a little flabby? Absolutely not. You know, there is hope for Sean Marash out there to be an NFL quarterback. I'm just kidding. I saw Marash today. He's looking good. Down like 45 pounds. Maybe Mahomes will hit up Marash. I'll be like, hey, what are the diet tips, Sean? What are the diet tips? Marash is like the QB whisper around here. Thought that Russell Wilson, wife Sierra, you know, have you ever heard of her? That if it wasn't for Russell Wilson, they may have had a thing once at a Super Bowl. And now Marash, since he lost 45 pounds, could be given Patrick Mahomes some diet tips. I will say, calling him Fat Mahomes, though, is funny. Well, he's delivered a lot of fat amount of Super Bowls, so I think you should be fine with that. Who cares if there's a little flub on his body? All right, big thanks to Juju Ballo for joining us. Big thanks to Connor. Big thanks to Sam. Big thanks to Zach. Big thanks to each and every one of you. We'll be back tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific time. We out. Bye-bye. Peace!
Odyssey celebrates Father's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.